Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Services Strategy Conference Call. My name is Carmen, I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Aria DeFranco, Analyst Relations Manager. Please proceed, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello, this is Aria DeFranco in the Cisco Analyst Relations Group, and welcome to our AR Speaker Series teleconference on Cisco Services Strategy. In today's teleconference, we will discuss Cisco's plans to develop and scale the intellectual property, tools, and infrastructure necessary to deliver a consistent customer experience across multiple market segments. We will also share the methodologies and processes that Cisco Services uses that helps to make us the first global networking company to earn the J.D. Power and Associates certification for outstanding technology service and support. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will pull the participants on the phone lines for any questions that you may have. And we will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Today's presenter is Carl Mulema. Carl is Vice President of Customer Advocacy, Services Marketing, and Channels for Cisco. In his role, Carl is responsible for creating and managing global service offerings that accelerate time to profitability and differentiation for partners and customers. And I would now like to turn the call over to Carl.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you are on the globe. Thanks for joining us at this time. And as Aria said, we are going to talk about the services strategy as it stands today. We will most likely not be complete in that. An hour is definitely not enough to do that. But we are planning to give regular updates on these teleconferences. So feel free to come back to us with a very specific topic you would like us to address in the future. So let me take you through our strategy for today. We, I always like to start with our mission because I think it is an important part of everything we do. And the mission of customer advocacy or Cisco Services, as we call ourselves in the outside world, is to accelerate our customer success with Cisco technology. So unlike many other service and support organizations that purely drive revenue for revenue's sake, our mission is really very tightly tied to the success of our customers with our technology, and that's really what's driving us. Now, I think most of you are very familiar with Cisco's business model, and our business model is a partner business model. 80%+ of our bookings as Cisco as a whole, including Scientific Atlanta and Linksys, as well as including services, goes through our partners. So in order to be successful with our mission and to be staying within the Cisco business model, we can only be successful if we give our customers access to capable, profitable partners. Capable, obviously, because otherwise we wouldn't be successful with our mission. Profitable, otherwise our partners won't be around for much longer. So our balancing act is to ensure that success with customers, that customer success with our technology, while achieving capable, profitable partners in the mix. So from a marketplace perspective, there's a number of trends that drive what we're doing. So first of all, as the network becomes the platform, there's a much bigger need for a complete set of services to ensure customer success. In the past, when we were selling routers and switches, the pretty far-reaching amount of CCIEs our customers had and our partners had made the formalization of services far less important. But today, with all the advanced technologies that we're driving, it is really important to have a complete set of services, very specifically articulated and standardized so that we can ensure rapid success with our technology. Customers also expect more and more day two support to be much more proactive than it is today. The support model, in most cases, was a reactive support model. we see specific trends in the segments where specific segments are having much more specific needs as it obtains services and partners. And so that means that we need to drive a much more segmented model. And then finally, in the partner model, our customers do accept the partner model, but they at the same time expect from our partners an experience that is transparent vis-a-vis Cisco. In other words, they really expect the same level of service, the same customer experience from Cisco as they would from a partner, which puts a lot of pressure on us to make sure that we enable our partners to deliver that experience. So the four chapters that I will be discussing this morning is therefore lifecycle services to ensure that we have that full set of customer services out there. The services portfolio that we have developed to ensure, and that we are still developing as we speak, to ensure that we move more into a proactive model. The segmented offers to address the segmented needs from our customers, and what we're doing from a partner enablement perspective. So let me start with lifecycle services. I think I've talked to quite a few of you around lifecycle services, and lifecycle services for us really is the foundation on top of which everything else we do in services. It is not a series of services. The name may be a little bit confusing, but lifecycle services for us is nothing more than the description of all the activities that we believe are essential to make our technology successful. Who delivers, who actually carries out those activities is not part of the lifecycle services itself. That's part of our portfolio and our go-to-market strategy. Lifecycle services only describes in detail what it takes to make our technology successful. When we go to slide number 10, you see the maturity lifecycle of products that is, I think, well known through Jeffrey Moore and many others. Why I'm bringing this up is that for us to introduce new technologies, we have to go through a phasing of everything we do from a services perspective, but also organizationally. So when we come out with a new technology, in the beginning of a new technology, we have to build the life cycle. There is no knowledge available to drive services around the new technology. And so we need to ensure that we can build the life cycle and that we can subsequently test it before we can actually scale it to our partners. It's very difficult to scale something you don't know how to do yourself. And so when you see Cisco getting engaged in certain services models around certain technologies where that seems to indicate that we're doing something that we haven't done before, it is usually because we are in the first phase of a new technology and we are building and testing the life cycle so that we can scale it later on. From how our AS organization operates, in the beginning of new technologies, our AS organization really needs to build the practices. So the practices are in our organization are responsible for building and testing the life cycle. And our delivery organization then expand that moving forward. So, and IAS actually stands for Advanced Services for those of you that don't recognize the acronym. How we do partner enablement therefore also has to be done in a very scaled manner, where we move from a very embryonic model very early on in the technology and prior to the technology being out there. We have a formalized ATP program, Advanced Technology Partner Program, where we take a very selective number of partners and use them during the early phases of the technology. And then we move into our regular partner programs, our specialization, and really drive partner enablement through the mainstream of our programs. I won't go through every element of this, but I think it's important to recognize that the portfolio that we're driving, services portfolio that we're driving, in the beginning is very much a custom portfolio where we will do custom-specific services. As we move forward, some of the services we will put into a Cisco-branded model, And then finally, we will move into to the what we would call the ultimate model of either co-branded collaborative type services or partner-branded services, whichever is appropriate for that specific technology. So from a services portfolio perspective, you've been accustomed to see us operate into two modes, Cisco branded mode and partner branded. What that means is that we would take the knowledge that we would build up in the lifecycle services, combine that with tools and delivery infrastructure where appropriate, and build out either a Cisco service model that we hand off to our partners to resell, or we leverage that knowledge to our partners, give our partners access to that knowledge, and invite them to build their own brand of services around it. What we've discovered in the last few years, particularly based on feedback from customers, but also in some cases from partners, is that while these two models may be very appropriate for many situations, there are actually situations where customers actually do not want to choose between a partner brand and a Cisco brand, but are looking for the best of both worlds. They're looking for the value add that the partner can bring, but they also want the assurance of the Cisco brand behind it. And that led us on slide 13 to the creation of what we call collaborative services. And I will give you some examples of collaborative services as we go further through this this presentation. So moving forward, what we will be doing is, and what you will see us do, is continue to drive a combination of partner-branded, Cisco-branded, and collaborative services side by side, and really ensure that we have a full portfolio around the lifecycle available that helps the customers be successful with our technology. So on slide 14, there is an example of a portfolio. And so on slide 14, it's the Cisco-branded component of that portfolio across the lifecycle. As you can see, there's that portfolio is not complete, and that's not complete by design because we are in a partner-branded model, and so by design we drive the overall portfolio to the end customer in collaboration with our partners. So on slide 15, the lifecycle services, e-learning, and the steps to success support for lifecycle services provide the partners with very valuable information to help them build their own services across the whole lifecycle. And then finally, on slide 16, we are augmenting this portfolio with collaborative services that we have introduced lately. So we introduced a few weeks ago at the Partner Summit Cisco SmartCare service, a fully collaborative service that is only available in a collaborative model. We have launched early this year the TS Operate collaborative services that are basically a collaborative version of our SmartNet portfolio that are aimed at those partners who have specific delivery capabilities and want to use those delivery capabilities together with Cisco. And also earlier this year we introduced the remote management service as a collaborative model for those who followed us in the past few years. We purchased a company called NetSolve, and when we purchased them, we announced that we would make that that capability available to our partners, and the remote management collaborative service is that. That embodiment of that intention that we announced a few years ago. Taking us a bit longer than we would have hoped for, but we now have a model that where we work very closely with a number of our closest partners to develop the model in a way that it fits their business model, and that it would actually they would have the opportunity to be successful with it. So when we go into the segmented models, and skip through to slide 18, I'm going to talk very specifically about what we're doing in enterprise and what we're doing in commercial. And in enterprise, our focus today is what we call service-led interactions. And it's really a sales engagement model where unlike the past, we are working very closely between the services people and the sales people, the product sales people, with our customers to really ensure that we give our customers much more upfront a good insight in architecturally what they can achieve with Cisco and with the network as a platform. And really take the combination of what, from a business perspective, our customers are trying to achieve and combine that with, from an architectural perspective, what is possible and really drive a roadmap and an architecture for the customers that helps them really achieve their business goals in a way that really gives them a much more beneficial return on their investment. So what the accelerators for us are that the service line interaction really leads to an architecture roadmap, and the importance of that for the customer is that the architecture roadmap really gives the customer a long-term plan of rolling out new technologies that help them achieve their business goals, and that their network architecture is actually ready for accepting those new technologies, and so that they have a smooth transition and a smooth implementation of those new technologies in the network. It obviously also therefore supports the technology absorption, and again, because of our business model, one of the things that is part of our overall strategy here is to also ensure that our partners are part of the whole service-led interaction, and that we help our partners transform to a similar model in their business so that they leverage the knowledge that we build up, whether it's the tools that we build up in service-led interaction, so that they can perform a similar approach to their customers. Excuse me. On the commercial side, as I said earlier, we introduced the Cisco SmartCast service. For those of you who were not at the partner summit, Cisco SmartCast is aimed at the mid-market and the SMB part of the world. It's aimed at a target customer that has anywhere between 50 and 600 network users, and at those customers where the network is critical to their business. What we see in the majority of those customers is that they usually have a very limited set of IT resources. First of all, because it's not their business. Secondly, because it's very difficult to keep the staff on board in their business. So that's the type of target customers. Those customers are looking in majority at partners to really be the extension of their IT department. They're really looking at the partner to help them be successful in their business with the network as a platform. With that in mind, when we designed Cisco SmartCare, we came to the conclusion that the best way of bringing this offer to the market would be to have an exclusive collaborative model, meaning there will not be a Cisco version of this, there will not be a Cisco branded version of this. The only way customers can get access to it is through the partners and through the value add that the partners add on top of Cisco SmartCare. For the partner, obviously, the advantages are that they really can exploit their own value-added services, and that from a pricing perspective, they set the services based on the value-add that they put out in the market. There is no anchor pricing set by Cisco, and so they have much more freedom to really put the pricing out there based on what they can add to the customer. What the partner gets from Cisco, and we're now on slide 23, what the customer gets from Cisco is 24/7 access to the TAC, advanced replacement of hardware, software updates and upgrades, basically all the same deliverables that you would get in regular reactive type of support. But in addition to that, what we provide to the customer is remote network monitoring of all the Cisco devices on the network. And that helps us give the partner proactive notifications of everything that's going on in the network that they should care about. It gives them what we call assess and repair services, so it allows them to, in an automated fashion, get an assessment of what's going on in the network, in detail a report around it that they can share with their customer, under their own logo combined with the Cisco logo, and also provide them with the ability to, from a remote perspective, repair the majority of the issues that they find in the network. So if you compare that to today's business model where the partner has to go out multiple times to the customer site for the assessment, to do the discussion with the customer, and then to perform the repair services, from an efficiency perspective, you easily see that this is a very significant improvement. And it doesn't require them to do all the engineering, but they actually leverage the Cisco knowledge and the Cisco tools for providing these high-value services to their customers. In addition to that, we also have what we call assess and prepare services as part of the Cisco Smart Care. And what that means is that when the customer is connected to the Cisco Smart Care service, we can make an assessment of what it would take for that specific network to add new technologies like, for instance, voice, and give the customer and the partner good insight in what steps they need to take to make their network voice ready and what preparations they need to put in place. So from a pricing perspective, in this marketplace specifically, simplicity is a key component. And so we really worked hard to ensure that we could come up with a model that was extremely simple to understand and to administer for our partners. And one of our design criteria was that it actually should fit on one piece of paper for the whole pricing model, and that's actually what we achieved. Pricing model is a simple matrix that talks about the complexity of the network in four different levels, from a basic data network to a advanced security network to a voice network to a voice application network. Those are the only four layers at this time. And then on the other axis of the matrix, we have the amount of devices that are being supported. And we've done the amount of devices not on an individual basis, actually in price bands. So, for instance, if you're anywhere between 52 and 72 devices, and I'm taking these numbers from the top of my head, so don't hold me accountable for the exact numbers, but if you're anywhere in that band, you will get one price, meaning also that if you add a device to your network, in many cases, you won't see any price increase simply because you stay within the same band. So the simplicity of the pricing for the partner means that the partner can go to a customer's network, do an assessment of the network architecture, and immediately can assess what the price will be for them, allowing them to set the price for the customer in a very quick fashion. So in summary, Cisco Smart Care, from a partner perspective, it really helps them drive their profitability because there is no Cisco price setting in the market, and it really allows them to leverage their value-added services to drive margin and profitability. Because of the value-added services that they are now able to deliver, in a lot of cases today, they can only deliver that through a lot of engineering resources. It allows them to really grow their customer loyalty, really get much closer to their customer. The knowledge that they have about the customer's network allows them to much earlier on inform the customer about specific activities that the customer needs to do to make sure that their network really supports their business, and that, of course, drives a lot of customer loyalty. And because of that, it overall drives growth for our partner, both on the product side as well as on the services side. From a customer perspective, the fact that their network is now monitored means that they have constant surveillance of their security. The simplicity of the model, but also the security that the partner is constantly looking over their shoulder to ensure that the network is working to expectations, means that the customer really can focus on their business, really can drive their productivity in their business, and doesn't have to worry about whether or not their network will support them on a current basis. And then finally, how do we enable our partners? We've, over the years, put a lot of work in ensuring that our partners had the right skills, had the right product knowledge, And we're really capable of positioning and selling and servicing our products. But that's not enough. If you really want to make sure that you have capable and profitable partners, you need to also give them access to your methodologies, your processes, your tools, really help them build their own practice and really become a professional organization around the Cisco technology. And then you need to also help them, from a business perspective, ensure that they have the right business processes in place so that from a profitability perspective, they are secure. So the practice building has two components. It's a technical component and it's a business component. We believe that it's our role in enabling our partners to ensure that we cover all three areas, that we cover the knowledge, that we cover the business practices, and that we cover the technology side of the practice. With that in mind, we developed a process we call the partner e-consulting process. And in a few short words, and I'm now in the slide 28, in a few short words, what we're basically doing is we're assessing the partner's current business capabilities and outcomes. We are giving them insight in how that compares to benchmarks, and then we give them insight in what we believe the best recommendations are for the specific issues that we see in their business and what best practices we can share with them. And then tool allows them on an ongoing basis to monitor their performance and to constantly track whether or not they are moving in the right direction. So what that does for partners is really providing them the business intelligence to make informed decisions based on where is my performance and how does that compare to where the industry is. So we give them very specific information that explains to them that, for instance, in their wireless practice, they could be at the bottom 25% in their country as far as services performance is concerned. So it gives them a good insight in which areas of their business are not up to par, and therefore gives them a good insight in where to invest and where the investment can pay off vis-a-vis what's happening in the industry. Giving them very customized and very specific recommendations makes it a lot more effective and efficient for them, rather than having to go through very long websites and databases to figure out how to improve. We are here very specifically taking our findings and translating them into specific recommendations. E-consulting will be available to our partners in May, and currently the data we have available gives us access to about 4,000 partners that can take advantage of e-consulting. And of course, e-consulting is freely available for our partners. It's a worldwide program, so it's available for our partners globally, and as I said, it is free of charge for them. Another major component of our business with our partners is the end-to-end service management process, our contract management and install base management. And earlier this year, in March, we launched a new Cisco Service Contract Center. And the three main components of Cisco Service Contract Center for our partners is, first of all, around creating quotes and orders, we have taken the majority of the obstacles that we had in the past, and we've removed them, allowing our partners to generate quotes and orders quickly, to generate quotes for multiple service levels, for multiple contracts, for multiple locations, all in one quote, allowing them to create quotes that gives their customers insight in comparison insight into multiple service levels, what it would take them to what the price difference are between one service level versus the other. And turning a quote into an order is as simple as clicking a mouse button. So that is a significant improvement, and the feedback from our partners has been extremely positive on this. The second component of the Service Contact Center is around renewal. We have calculated that on every given moment in time, our pipeline for renewals for the next 3 months is about $1.3 billion. And if it's our pipeline, then it's also our partner's pipeline. So That's a significant amount of money that's out there on the table. And renewals really is a very simple process. Like in any sales process, you're going to be able to understand that, who to sell to, what to sell, and what budget you have to work with. And service contracts tend to provide that information precisely to the customer, or to the partner, allowing the partner to really take advantage of that huge opportunity and really leverage that huge opportunity. And then finally, Service Contact Center has made significant changes in how to manage the contract accuracy. So moves, adds, and changes in the installed base are now a very simple process. That then drives, of course, the accuracy of the contract information, which ultimately drives the service delivery quality. Because if you don't know where certain pieces of equipment are, it's going to be very difficult to service them. And it's going to be very difficult to have the right spare parts in the right place for them. So in summary, it is about accelerating customer success with Cisco technology. It is about making sure we address the customer needs, and we do that in the various segments, in a very segmented way, and that we really ensure profitable revenue growth for our partners at the same time. Our slogan, and I'm going to close with that, is making networks work better together, and that means better together with our partner community. Want to open it up for questions?
Thank you, Carl. Operator, at this point, we'd like to take questions from our analyst audience. So if you can please hold them for any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. And the first question comes from the line of Tom Coldsbury from Ovium. Please proceed, sir.
Carl, hi. This is Tom Kishari from Open Summit. Very interesting presentation. I had a question about your use of NetSolve technology. You spoke specifically about the use of remote services for small business. How extensive is your use of NetSolve and other remote monitoring technologies for large enterprises? And what is the relative role of partners versus Cisco services in delivering those remote services and the follow-up to the enterprise customers?
Okay. So for Cisco SmartCat, as we use for our commercial customers, we don't use the NetSolve technology. The NetSolve technology is very suitable in a true managed environment, in a truly 24/7 managed solution. Cisco SmartCat is not a managed solution. It gives you updates on a regular basis, and regular for us is typically a few times per day. What we've discovered talking to many customers in that market segment is that in a lot of cases, those customers aren't ready for 24/7 full-time monitoring. They don't feel the need for that, and they don't want to pay the value premium that's required for that. What they do want is on a regular basis ensure that their system is secure, on a regular basis get updates about the availability of their network and about the performance of their network. So that's why we've separated the technology, and we're not using that technology for these customers. Now, we believe that a part of those customers over time may actually see the value of this and may actually upgrade to a fully monitored solution, and that upgrade obviously is available to them. But we don't use the NetSolve technology for it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Adam Couture from Gartner. Please proceed.
I've got two quick questions, if I would. You mentioned that the services are developed or roadmap through the practice areas. I'm assuming those practice areas are linked to your product lines. Is that true, or am I off base?
So the practices are part of our services organization, part of our advanced services organization, but they are aligned, structurally aligned around our technologies. That is absolutely correct. So we have practices around voice, security, around our data center, and a few others. So the practices have to be obviously very closely aligned with the technology, because they are the true experts of what it takes to make technology work.
Okay. Second question is, smart care or something like it going to be on the roadmap for your MDS resellers?
Yes. Oh, as far as resellers. So what we're doing, so first of all, at the low end of the storage product line, that is included in smart care. As I said earlier, the smart care offer is aimed at customers with about 600 users. We are obviously, based on the feedback, the initial feedback around smart care, looking at ways of taking a similar approach into the enterprise space. But the enterprise model is a different model, and so everything that we did for SmartCare was very specifically based on the mid-market segment and the SMB segment. And so whenever we will come out with something, that will have to be very significantly tuned and tailored to the requirements of the enterprise customer, which are, you know, we believe, pretty significantly different than the commercial customer.
Very good. Thank you.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question. That is star one to ask a question. And now we'll take the next question from Wu Rolf from IDC. Please proceed, ma'am.
Okay. Hi, Carl. Thanks for the presentation. So I'd like to just clarify, in terms of SmartKit, is that SuperSheet SmartNet, essentially it will wrap in SmartNet capabilities on top of whatever else in terms of on-chain optimization there is?
So I'm not quite sure if I fully understood the question. So SmartCare gives the partner and the customer all the capabilities of SmartNet plus all the features that I talked about earlier. If your question is, does the customer no longer have to buy SmartNet if they buy SmartCare? The answer is absolutely yes. That's correct. SmartCare will give them those capabilities plus the other features.
Okay.
Did I
hear
the question right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That is my question. It does supersede SmartNet. And this, therefore, this simplicity of pricing is very interesting, because, you know, SmartNet has, you know, a whole variety of SKUs based on the technology and so forth. So, I mean, SmartNet. So SmartCare, you said it's one price, and then is it technology specific, or how does that work?
So it's one price that is for the whole network. So all the devices in the network are covered in that one price. So we don't do a price per device anymore. It's one price for the whole network.
Mm-hmm.
From a technology perspective, we have four layers of technology. We have what we call routing, switching, plus basic security. That's the sort of the bottom layer. The next layer is advanced security. There are certain products that fall into that category, and as soon as that those products are part of the network, the whole network pricing is based on that. If the customer adds voice to their network, then we move into the next price band. And if they add voice applications like Meeting Place or IPCC to their network, then they move to the top layer. So that's how we cover the variation in technology pricing. And so, your conclusion about, well, this is compared to SmartNet, a huge difference, is absolutely correct. And the team has done a lot of modeling work to come up with a pricing model that fits this model appropriately.
Okay. Can you reveal what the range of prices are?
So we're still in the process of finalizing the prices. We are doing a lot of market testing with our partners to and with our customers to ensure that we have the right pricing level. So the pricing levels are not not out in the open just yet. We have a limited release planned for July to about 100 partners, and by that time the price will be available. But what I think is important to understand is that this is a pricing model to our partners.
Right.
So it's not an end custom pricing. It's a price that our partners then need to take, add their value-added services to, and that will determine the end price for the end customer. And so we are not giving any information or any suggestions around what the end customer price should be. That is up to the partner, and I think that is the feedback from our partners has been pretty consistent around that. That's the attractiveness of the model, the fact that Cisco is not setting the price in the marketplace and is not driving them to a certain price.
Right. I think that's really important, and that'd be very interesting understanding that more as you evolve that. And just one last question in terms of software upgrades, that is there anything different in terms or the pricing is really just based on those different points or four different points that you iterated in terms of the technology? So there's no additional cost for particular software upgrades or?
So there's certain applications that have a separate price for software upgrades today, and that's a product pricing, and that will continue to be the same in smart care. For all other products, exactly the same process is followed as with SmartNet. So where the upgrades and upgrades are included in SmartNet and SaaS and SaaSU, the upgrades are also included in smart care.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Carl.
Welcome.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And now I have the next question coming from the line of Ms. Leslie Rosenberg from IDC. Please proceed, ma'am.
Hi, Carl. I have a question with regards to the higher value services that partners can layer on top of smart care. Do you have any case studies or anecdotal, from your testing of partners who are differentiating themselves, while installing or selling smart care? With smart care, all things being equal, and within a geography, how should partners or what can partners do to differentiate themselves from one another with all things being equal?
Okay. Let me hand that question over to Sherry Lebo. Sherry is running our commercial segment, and she's obviously a much better expert in this than I am, so I'll ask her to answer that question.
Great.
Yeah, so Leslie, Sherry Lebo here. Let me give you an example because I think that's the best way to understand it. So we have particular partners that, for example, are specialized in healthcare area. So they have a unique understanding of HIPAA requirements and things like that. And what they do is they utilize the automation. And let me give you one example. There is an automation around a security health check. So to remain HIPAA compliant, they know exactly how frequently they have to perform that, and through the use of the smart care platform, they can actually print out an automated report that shows the vulnerabilities and the fixes that were done, and you staple that to the front of a HIPAA form, and a small hospital can be HIPAA compliant. So that is one example of them taking their unique vertical specialization or the fact that they're a trusted partner in a region, and that creates their differentiation. So they can customize the number of times that the network is monitored, or the number of times they do a security check, or whatever the requirements are, and that's how they layer on their differentiation.
Great, thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Tom Kacharby from Ovium. Please proceed, sir.
Yes, follow-up question, Carl. About the talk a little bit about the how the Cisco's services and sales organizations work together to make architectural plans and roadmaps for companies. Can you talk a little bit about how you train your partners on doing these architectural assessments and how they fit in to a program where Cisco's own direct services and sales organization does the architectural assessment with all fulfillment going through customer through the partner?
Very good question. Let me try and answer that. So first of all, the work we're doing around service level directions is relatively in early stages. When I talked earlier about building, testing, and scaling, that applies to this as well. So we're right now in the building and early phases of testing our practices, our tools around the service-led interactions. We believe that that we will have certain partners more capable and more suited and more focused on these kind of activities than others. But we also believe that likely doing that with every other part of the life cycle, that we can enable our partners and we can train our partners and bring them through specific programs and certifications to learn and to get certified on these technologies.
Uh-huh.
So, we have about 30,000 partners. Our aim is not to get 30,000 certified service-led interaction partners. That is definitely not something that we see happening anytime. But we do believe that first of all, that it's important to scale this simply because of our philosophy around what our service model is. Secondly, because we believe that there are partners out there that are capable or can be made capable. Right now, our focus for this this program is entirely on our larger global accounts. Like many of these folks started in that area, but we will roll this out in a scalable way to a selected number of partners.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Mr. Chris Lewis from OVM. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. My question, two pieces really. One is, in terms of can you give us some indication of the sort of investment that Cisco has put into to develop all of these? You seem to have not done a lot of development work, and obviously in very early days. Is there any ideas around the investment levels that you've actually put into this?
So if you talk specifically around smart care, we usually don't give out precise numbers, but this number is well north of $30 million.
And my second question relates to, and I apologize if I missed it a bit earlier, but you were talking about smart care covering all the devices within the network. Is there any relationship between that and then the applications monitoring and management that sits under the Aon and AI sort of environment?
That's a very good question. I'm not quite sure I have a direct answer to that. Let me ask Parvesh. We have Parvesh Shetty on the phone. Parvesh Shetty is our vice president responsible for all our practices. Parvesh, would you have an answer on that?
I think Carl, as you touched early on, given the early stages in the target segment of this offering is more towards the 600 network users, the early engagements in regards to Aon is the target towards some of the large customers to make them more network-aware applications. So again, at this stage, I haven't really seen that enter into the picture, but something that we are looking at to see if the offering needs to be modified further down the road.
Okay, thank you.
Carl, there's a question that I received from an analyst in advance of the call, and the question is, I would like to understand how Cisco is equipping its channel partners to make the transition to selling solutions that require a very significant professional services and software integration component. This requires a change in both support and sales preparation, and I'd like to know how Cisco plans to meet the challenge.
Right. So that's where our whole lifecycle services methodology comes into play. So we very strongly believe that by following the life cycle pretty religiously, partners can be very successful in building out solutions and building out our technologies. What it requires is the discipline in this space to no longer look at professional services as an art, but really look at it as a process. And that's exactly what we're trying to achieve with Lifecycle Services. If you look at the partner enablement tools that we give our partners through Steps to Success, then we're not only talking about what needs to be done, but we're also talking extensively on how to do it and what steps to follow, what sequence to follow, to really help the partners be successful and make this process a process rather than an office, a work of art, very smart engineer.
Great. Thank you, Carl. Thanks again for presenting to our analyst audience. And I'd like to thank my colleague, Kimberly Morrison, who also helped to produce this teleconference. And if you have any additional follow-up questions, those of you on the line, please contact Kimberly at timmorri@cisco.com. And please note that short survey to all participants will be sent shortly, and I wish to thank you in advance for providing candid feedback. Replay information will also be included in the email in case you wish to share it with your colleagues. Thank you once again for participating in today's teleconference, a production of Cisco Systems Analyst Relations. Operator, can you please close the call?
This concludes the presentation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect and have a wonderful day.